Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, you know, I talked a lot about a little booklet that Gary brings from time to time called In Him. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But our opening scripture this morning comes from the epistles of John, towards the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15. These verses are very, very important pertaining to our prayer life. Extremely so. And verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." In verse 15, "And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." But I want to go back and chew on that a little bit. First off, "And this is the confidence that we have." You can never pray an effective prayer if you pray and say, "Well, I hope it worked." And I saw a quote from somebody yesterday that had to do with prayer, and it had to do with, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? But this says, "And the confidence," this is the confidence that we have in Him. And every place in the scriptures that you find that phrase, "in Him," or "in whom," or "in Christ," there are promises attached to those. There's two ways of looking at "in Him." Number one, in Him, Jesus being the object of your confidence or your assurance. Number two, you are in Him spiritually. It's a place where we are spiritually. Believers are in Him or in Christ. So there's a lot of power in that. There are a lot of benefits to that. There are a lot of scriptures and promises that pertain to that relationship. Another picture is Jesus is the Ark of the New Covenant, the Genesis Ark, where Noah and his family were safe. And all lives that were aboard that ark were safe. They went through the flood. They went through for 40 days. They weren't taken away from the flood. They were protected in the flood. And in Christ, Christ is that ark for us because we're in Him. It doesn't mean that life is free from hardships. It doesn't mean that life is free from storms. That would be the most phoniest, silly gospel that one could ever believe in, because we all know for sure that that really isn't true. But he's like Noah's Ark for us. He is the Ark, the place of safety, the place of refuge, the place of provision. They never ran out of food for all the animals. They never ran out of food for themselves. They were sealed in the ark. Now think about, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a lot of connections back from the promises in Christ back to the promises that God gave Noah and his family. And those, everything that pertained to the life that was in that ark, Christ is that ark to us. And the Old Testament mirrors a lot of the New Covenant. And you can go back and forth and see so many likenesses. But here's the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him. And confidence, assurance, is a wonderful thing to have. Because if you don't have any confidence that God is going to not only hear your prayer, but answer your prayer, why bother? It's just a coming to know Him in that way, that whenever He speaks, you know it's true. We know that He hears us. That's really important. And you know God's not deaf. I know He's Ancient of Days. You know, the scriptures talk about He's ageless, but He's not deaf. And He's as close as the whisper of His name. Why? Because He dwells within us by His Spirit. And I've seen people get really radical and start screaming and shouting and all that, and I have a hard time praying like that, because it's very distracting and disruptive. I don't mind a loud. I like loud. I like jubilant worship and praise and prayer and all that. But to a person who thinks that God is deaf, and they just like screaming at Him and yelling and hollering, and I've actually heard that, and I wonder if He's, what a voice. No, he isn't. And that He hears us, in that word hear, in this sense, He listens with the intent of following through on what you asked Him for. It's one thing to hear a car go by on the road. I mean, when the windows are open, you hear them more. But there's a difference between hearing and listening. And this hearing includes listening. It's like when different vehicles go down the road, you can tell if it's a car if you're listening. You can tell if it's a motorcycle, maybe one of your neighbor's friends, or a truck or whatever. But that's the difference between hearing a sound and listening to what's being said or what's being spoken. And this hearing that God has is that kind, where He listens to your every word. So if we ask anything according to His will, His word is His will. Let that be your guide. His word is His will. That's why it's called the last will, the last will and testament, because there's not going to be another one. This is it. First and the last. Like the two Adams, the first Adam and the last Adam. There's none in between. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us. See, if means you have to make a decision. If I know that He hears me, you need to know that He hears you. I can't speak for you. I can't speak on your behalf. But you have to know these things for you. And I have to for myself. Whatsoever we ask. Now, based on the verse before that, whatsoever you ask, according to His word, according to His will, we know. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So there's a lot of personal things that are important regarding our prayers or regarding our conversation with the Lord. Number one, do we have that confidence, that assurance? That's important. And that we have it in Him. See, right now, we put a lot of confidence in people, and particularly in times like these two storms that we've been praying for, and I know that we will continue that for people that you know. We put a lot of confidence in our president, our government, our local state officials that do all that they can through natural means to help people, but they have many shortfalls. There are many things that they're not able to do or to provide. And we put confidence in people, but people let us down. We've all either been let down by somebody or we've done it to others just simply because we have. But God never does. So we can put our confidence fully in Him. And I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, which tells us that all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. So when you take what Paul wrote and you take what John wrote, you can come to a pretty solid conclusion about your prayers being answered, if they're already yes and amen. And then Peter said, he's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What does that leave out? Can you think of anything that's left out of all? And so when any of us comes before the Lord in prayer and we know those things already, I mean really down in the spirit, there are so many things that become prayers of thanksgiving, and that's why from time to time I like to remind us of that. How important to be able to pray with thanksgiving. And you'll find a lot of scriptures about prayer, including thanksgiving. Why? Because we're showing God we believe Him. We're showing God we trust Him. We're showing God that we know Him. We know what He's like. We know His character. We know His nature. We know His faithfulness. We know His truthfulness. And we know that His word is true and that He's not a God who lies to us. And those are all part of this little scripture here about being in Him and our confidence in Him. So there's two ways of looking at in Him. In Him is the one who provides, but in Him is the one where we abide as believers. So I'll just leave you with that thought. And Jesus did pray that we would all be one as He and the Father are one, that He and the Father in Him, and that we also would have that same relationship, that we would be one with Him as He is with the Father. So let's have a huggy break. Have a word in season. It isn't part of what I brought earlier, but it's now. It's a now moment. I was going to go back into Proverbs with our teaching on words, but suddenly this scripture came, so I'm going to present it to you, and if it ministers life to you, then we heard the Lord. If it didn't, it won't hurt to hear it, because it's still good. But this is what came to me, and it was almost immediately after Marge read what she did, there was something said, go with this. So here we are, Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 4 and through verse 8. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Actually, rejoice means to jump and shout and twirl about. So move them chairs back. If you ever get a rejoicing spirit, there's lots of room. But it shows us, rejoice in the Lord always, or always. Rejoice. Let your moderation or self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Self-control, something that Cassandra testified to this morning. Self-control is when you want to say something and you know you shouldn't, and you don't do it. Usually, I know I shouldn't say this, but, and then we say it. Self-control is, I know I shouldn't say it, so I'm not going to say it. Or to do something, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Now, self-control says, I know I shouldn't do this, and I'm not going to. Let that be known unto all men. So that's a witness and a testimony that we don't, as Christians, let our flesh side or our earth suits run our lives anymore. It's the Spirit that controls our lives, and the Lord is at hand, or He's close by, He's present. Be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. See, careful really means full of cares. That's a shortened version. When you say be careful, that word, if it was expounded on, would be filled with cares, worries, anxieties, concerns. That's where you have to go back to Matthew chapter 6. That's the don't worry chapter. All the birds don't worry about where to go. If you got a bird feeder, God sends them to you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, not for everything, because there's a difference between in everything and for everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's called clearing the slate. So you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be anxious about. If we've done all of these things, then we're in a really good place. And then he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall do what? Shall keep your hearts and minds. Not just the heart, but the mind as well. Your thought life will be at peace through Christ Jesus. And then he gives us some things to think about in the place. In the place of worries and cares and concerns, he gives us something else to think about, because we can change what we think about nearly instantaneously. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I can't speak for Paul, but I'm reading his words. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's what I leave with you today. His peace. You already have it. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of God's indwelling presence. And I believe that the Lord would have us to be reminded of that today. There's a lot of storminess going on in the natural sense and in the spiritual sense. But Jesus gave us his peace. He said it wasn't like the peace that the world gives, but he gave us himself, the Prince of Peace. He gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in us. And he let the peace of God reign. That little phrase, did you pick that up in that song of worship? Let the peace of God reign. That means it's already there. But it's useless if we don't let it have the place that God gave it to us to have. It has a purpose. Let the peace of God reign. It wants to. It was designed to. But we can stop it. If we choose to want to get into worry and fear and anxiety, then peace, it's there. And it's waiting for us to embrace it. Because it wants to do something really powerful. It wants to reign. It wants to rule. So it's not what I was intending to bring, but it's what is now. It's a now moment. And if that bears witness in your spirit, that peace, that kind of peace, is absolutely vital for us at a time as we're living in now, and to really pay attention to that, because there are a lot of other things coming down the pike that might shatter some of you if you don't grab a hold of these truths now. Just because it's stormy outside doesn't mean it has to get down on the inside. That's where peace is. Peace is in your spirit, man, in your heart, in your gut, in your innermost being. I can't describe it any other way. Peggy, you want to say something? Yeah?
People in Texas and
yes.
That had to leave their homes And it's a hard thing to leave your home.
Yeah, it is. I've been...
not know if you're going to have a home to come back to.
Yes.
I pray for their peace,
mm-hmm.
that they can deal with such a thing and realize that it's just stuff. It's just, they can get more stuff someday. But it's a hard thing to, I would think, to just leave your home.
See, that's the difference between being a believer, where we have the peace with us, and it is true, we can lose stuff, and many of us have, but there's still that inner peace. But to the unsaved, that's why I thank God for the presence of Christians among all of the people that are in peril, and that's really important that you brought up, because they, without the Lord, they don't have that peace and have not come to the place yet where they're ready to embrace it. And that's something to be praying for too, and that the Holy Spirit will in a person's lack be their provision. Everything that they have need of. And I'd be pretty sure that there are some who have already and will continue to, because it seems like we don't have to wait until disaster strikes to call upon the Lord. But that happens with a lot of people. Yes?
I saw on television last night that they were loading this truck with 10-gallon gas cans. And it was a church,
mm-hmm.
that were preparing for the aftermath to help the people,
yes.
that were there.
That's right.
And
yep.
Maybe this is the Lord's work to get people to work together and give up their...
I'm sure... Yeah, and I'm sure he's not opposed to that. So, the peace that Jesus left with us, we receive that today and we go out with it, because you are a comfort to others around you who don't have what you have. You don't have to go and be in a tornado or a hurricane. Spiritually, there are people all around us right here in Vermont, right in our own towns, where there are people torn apart with storms of life. The kids strung out on heroin, all kinds of things that are going on in our area, and yet we're called to be peacemakers. Why? Because God has given us His peace. You're a stabilizing factor in other people's lives. You might not realize it, but you really are. You keep things stable in your environment. Why? Because of this truth. So that's, yes. And I'm thankful for all of you.
We're thankful for you.
Yes. Anybody like prayer this morning?